560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond. It is an honor to hang out with you and find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris. This is The Morning Quest. I'm joined by Allison DeLuhl. How are you, Allison?
I'm doing just great. How are you, Josh?
I am doing just great. I had a really good weekend, actually. Very meaningful.
Nice.
Had the privilege of this Sunday having a nice group of guys. We went to Missionaries, a charity, and went to Mass and served breakfast for some of the AIDS patients they take care of. And, you know, all, not saying that to brag, but I do say that it's just interesting when you do things that are sacrificial with your time towards the Lord, you get so much more back. I mean, you really, it's just, you want happiness, try to give it away. That's was truly a gift.
Well, let's start with a prayer, and then I want to chime in and respond to that beautiful comment
yes.
you made.
Yes, do you have
that?
A prayer?
Yeah, I do. I have a prayer welcoming this new week. So let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for this new week. As Psalm 118:24 says, "This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to live in your presence and trust in your strength." As Isaiah 40:29 promises, he gives strength to the weary. Grant us peace, as Philippians 4:7 reminds us, the peace of God will guard our hearts, guide with wisdom and courage, remembering, be strong, courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you. Let us all show great love and trust in you to provide for us and guide us throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for keeping the main thing the main thing.
No, I love it. But truly, Josh, what I really love about you and I, how we get to do this together, mm-hmm. it's an absolute blessing.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful just how we're in different stages of life and just have different situations. So I remember those days, you know, when I was not married or single, and I just had all the time to serve and do all these things by myself, mm-hmm. just to like exude myself. And it's,
yeah.
and I know that now mine is, you know, a single mom with my kids, just
yeah.
sacrificial love. So I totally desire many times to do things like you do,
mm-hmm.
but then I come down and I think to myself, okay, Allison, you are doing these things.
Yeah.
You are just doing them in a different way with your stage in your life. So it's beautiful
yeah.
how we complement each other. So I hear
yeah,
I'm inspired
no, you,
through
and you,
you,
do,
and
you do, and you have kids that are definitely probably in many ways more dependent on you than the people I serve are. But it's, yeah, so definitely two contrasting
mm-hmm.
calls and surrenders to wherever God is taking us. But it's, yeah, it's great to hear about your adventures with your kids. And I remember, We had a little challenge, and so not to get too pious here, but I think this is a good thing. If people aren't aware, we have a chapel here at the Quest,
yes.
and they have Mass here about once a week or so. It's a real beautiful gift. Not only that, we have adoration from 10 to 3, typically Monday through Thursday. So if you're in the neighborhood, feel free to pop in and pray.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly want to high-five you and, help you find joy in the journey. But we had a priest saying Mass here a while ago, and he kind of pointed out something that I thought was pretty beautiful, challenging in many ways. He talked about the importance of memorizing the Word of God.
Mm, yes.
And he challenged people in the service, to say a scripture verse. And he was really, you know, kind of pressing in on Catholics. Hey, we really need to know our scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of people came up with a scripture verse. And he said, okay, now tell me chapter and verse what that is. And it was a lot more quiet than I would have felt comfortable, I think. You know?
yeah.
And so he was talking about the importance of not just knowing the verses, but or knowing the quotes, but knowing chapter and verse.
And where they are, yes.
Exactly. So I'm thinking, Allison, maybe this week we have, starting this week, we have like a weekly memory verse. Are you down for that?
I absolutely love that, because
yeah.
we need to know where the word is from and the quote.
Absolutely.
So it can be on our hearts and lips.
All right. So I'm going rogue here, and I'm picking Romans 12:1-2. How's that sound?
Beautiful.
All right, and so we're gonna just say this daily at some point in the show, and our goal is to be able to repeat it back by Friday. How's that sound? Can we handle that? I think so. Okay. New life in Christ. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, I would just focus on that one for right now. However, there is a part two, and part two is, and I think it's so important to include this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Wow.
Two important things, right?
It is, and I'm going to have to write that out and have it with me all the time, because my memory as I get older is getting a little bit rocky.
Yeah, this verse is sponsored by Prevagen, which will help us.
I know, I need some.
Remember. But yeah, so that's the challenge. I just say focus on verse 1 in the beginning, and then maybe in a couple days, maybe Wednesday, start chewing on verse 2 and try to put them together. And that is the verse of the week, because here's the thing. Our bodies are sacrifices. And of course, we think of purity. We think of nutrition. We think of things, but also the things that we put into our mind are equally as important. There's a priest, and I'm gonna find the video, and I'll share it with you guys a little bit later. But he has this hilarious Instagram video, and he says, "Hey, I made you these brownies. By the way." A little bit of, I won't say, you can look it up. I'll tell you the name of the priest. He said essentially something really gross fell into the batter. Are you okay with eating a brownie? And they're like, no, why would you do? He's like, come on, it's just a little bit. Like, I know you want the brownie, right? No. And then he just stops and looks at the camera at the end. He says, if you care so much about what goes into your body, why don't you care as much as what goes into your mind?
Ooh.
And I thought, oh, wow. That was a plot twist.
No, that was, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
And it's really true once we were to think about it.
Yeah. So again, the body is the temple of the soul, but so is the mind.
Amen.
What do we have today, Allison?
Well, we got some great stuff coming up today. Kathy from St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, Georgia, is going to be diving into today's gospel reflection and got the word with us, so we can't wait for that. Chuck Persner is going to be back, and he's going to be talking about our saint of the day, St. Andre Bissett. Another one that I really wasn't aware of until we met with Chuck.
Yep, mild-mannered saint. So, if you feel like, you know, you are just overlooked in life, this guy is a great example about how God chooses the lowly to do amazing things.
Amen. Also, we have Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, back, and he is going to be talking to us about the Jubilee of Hope. We've heard a lot about that, so great information on that one as well. And then coming up next, Father Klein, head of Regnum Christi Collective, he's going to be talking about an upcoming Catholic music retreat. So we can't wait to hear from him.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Father John Klein, LC, front man for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Catholic Worship Group, Regnum Christi Collective. How are you, Father?
Hey, Josh. Great to be here today. Thanks for such a introduction like that. You know, maybe people get the wrong idea of, like, Father John with his, Les Paul guitar jumping off a Marshall stack and sliding across the stage or stage diving, but... it's close, but maybe we can hone in on that image and to a more realistic one. Maybe Father John leading the people to worship the Lord with his acoustic guitar, or maybe on the streets, because the music we play in the Regnum Christi Music Collective kind of is twofold. One is to help lead people to worship,
yeah,
and a deeper encounter with Jesus, because if we're going to be missionaries, we have to have a profound and personal experience, mm-hmm, and love for our Lord. And once moved by his love, naturally we won't be able to help but tell people. And so mission follows from there. So the second kind of part of our mission is music that kind of pumps you up or moves you into mission, or like a soundtrack to evangelization.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah. Absolutely. And I am such a fan and agree wholeheartedly. It is really just fueled by the Eucharist. In fact, one of the music videos you guys released, which I loved so much, I think the whole video was y'all just singing this song in Eucharistic adoration. Praise God, you're making the main thing for your music, right?
That's right, yeah. I think you're referring to the first song we actually made together. It was called All of Me.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of a collage in the video of different moments of Eucharistic adoration, from small and intimate to a couple scenes from World Youth Day or a couple big Eucharistic congresses. So, you know, whether we adore Jesus in a small space or in a massive global space, he's still the Lord.
Amen.
And there's a power in that, in Jesus' intimacy in the small spaces, but his kingship and his greatness when we worship him or adore him in the large spaces.
Amen. And so with that in mind, well, two things. I do want to give a shout out really quick. Today's a big day for you.
That's right. Yes. 7 years ago today actually was my first mass as a priest. Wow. And yesterday would have been my anniversary of priestly ordination. So technically your first mass as a priest is your priestly ordination.
Oh, wow.
But it's a concelebrated mass. You concelebrate the mass with the bishop who ordains you. And then the next day you do your first mass. So typically if you're a diocesan priest, you'll go back to your diocese, sometimes your home parish or the one you're assigned to. As a religious, we can choose where we do our first mass. So I was ordained in Rome at the tomb of St. Paul, St. Paul outside the walls.
Wow.
And my first mass, I chose a beautiful little chapel in Rome that was meaningful to me, is dedicated to Our Lady. And it was where all of my seminary formation in theology, we did a Thursday holy hour there for college students. And so every Thursday of my through theology, I played adoration music, worship music in this church to our Lord. And so that was a very meaningful place. I did my first mass there, and it was Gaudete Sunday. So I got to wear rose or pink. Wow. And when I was a musician years ago, I was really proud of these pink pants that I got at the thrift store. And whenever we play a big show, I'd wear my pink pants, and it was kind of like goofy. And it was funny that the Lord would let me wear, instead of my pink pants on my first mass day, he let me wear the rose vestment. So
that is divine.
Felt like a rock star out there, Josh.
Well, praise God for your guests and how God has taken your music in that journey and made it something bigger. You know, he has really cocooned it in the larger mission of your priesthood and evangelization. And part of your mission is really giving back to those musicians and helping form them in their journey and their identity to, you know, sing a new song to the Lord and have that create an eternal ripple effect. You have an event coming up, a retreat coming up that really helps magnify that mission. Can you share a little bit more about it?
Yes. So we're having a retreat for young adult musicians. So we're looking for, you know, anywhere from college to young adults. And I guess musicians, yes, have a powerful gift, which is meant to bring others together and to move hearts. And so you can see in any secular musician has a power to influence in a powerful way so many people. And so as Catholic musicians, especially if we're called or given gifts, the Lord is calling us to be a good steward of those gifts and to use them to bring more beauty into the world, and especially true beauty, to move hearts, not to the world or to like selfish things, but to him, and to use those gifts selflessly. And so I think musicians being entrusted with a great power, a great mission, it's great. We need to come together. We need to strengthen each other. We need to put God first in our lives. We above all need to pray and have an experience of Jesus, so that will flow through into our music and then into our lifestyle. And then we can actually be a light to our culture, and we can move people to Christ instead of to ourselves.
Yeah.
So on this mission or on this retreat, there's going to be time for prayer, like personal prayer, to renew our own, as musicians, our own interior life. so that our own prayer life with the Lord is, we remember our first love, the love that moves us to sing. So some of the retreat is going to be even some silent prayer or some personal prayer, and then time for formation, right, to bring in some speakers to help us once again remember the mission that the church has for a musician. What does it mean, the gift we've received? What are our ways in which we can use that gift better to serve? You know, like, could be very practical talks on, you know, anything from singing to production to songwriting to how to lead a beautiful holy hour. And then among each other, sharing best practices so that we can have a moment of sharing and growing to better hone our skills. And then also for fellowship. Each night on the retreat, people can share songs they've written. We can have a moment where we sing praise and worship and adore the Lord together and build friendships and bonds so that we can collaborate better together and support each other better.
Amen. And where can people find out more about this event?
Yes, you can go to our website. It's RC Music Collective. So RC for Regnum Christi, or you can think of Roman Catholic RC, just those two letters, Music Collective. If you just put that into Google, it'll take you to our website, which is rcmusiccollective.org. And the information is there. Or you can even look us up on Instagram if you type in RC Music Collective.
And the dates, one last time.
Yes. Oh, the dates are going to be January 31st to February 2nd. It's the last weekend in January, first weekend in February. And it's going to be at Cove Crest, the Life Team Camp in North Georgia. They have a beautiful kind of large house that we rented where we can sleep there and play music there and share meals together. So it's going to be great.
What a gift. Thank you so much, Father Klein, for your service and helping to form the next generation of individuals, worship leaders, singing a new song for the Lord.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate that.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are so happy to have Kathy McCormick here with us, and we are going to dive into today's Gospel Reflection.
Thank you so much, Allison. So today's Gospel is Matthew 4, 12 through 17, and 23 through 25. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. That what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has risen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. His fame spread to all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick with various diseases and racked with pain, those who were possessed, lunatics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan followed him. And that is the gospel today.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So first, let me put this in context. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized by John. And then in chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 4, he's tempted in the desert. So now he's come out of that experience, and he heads to the town of Capernaum on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, which is kind of north. And the reference to the prophet Isaiah comes from Isaiah 8, 23 through 9, 1, where Isaiah speaks of the light rising in Zebulun and Naphtali. Zebulun and Naphtali were tribes of Israel, the two tribes that were actually the first to fall to the Assyrians. So you get a little history from Old Testament. Yeah. But this, again, basically is the reality, again, what the church is trying to tell us is that Jesus is that light. And that light is bringing about salvation to those who have experienced death.
Wow.
Which is all of us, death and sin.
Yes.
So, you know, yesterday's gospel was the epiphany, and we heard from Isaiah in the first reading yesterday about the Savior, mm-hmm. right? So the church is trying to reinforce that Jesus is our Savior and that we're in good hands now.
Amen. Praise God for that.
Yeah, and to your point, it's interesting, this first destination that he arrives at, you know, it's like the Savior. I think about what St. Jerome says. So interesting. The Savior chose Galilee of the Gentiles to show that salvation is not confined to Israel, but extends to all nations.
Right. Exactly.
So there's this centrality to his first destination mm-hmm. to, I think, spotlight the inclusivity of his message mm-hmm. and, you know, Christ's kingdom.
Right. Yeah, I've been to Capernaum, actually.
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
Peter's house is there. And,
wow.
And that is, it is on the shores of Galilee, that's for sure. But one of the things that we always want to do mm-hmm. is, what is Scripture telling us today, and what is Jesus telling us to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the last part of the Scripture, we hear what Jesus does. Jesus began to preach and say, repent. Okay, so we need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went around Galilee teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming gospel and curing diseases. So I thought about, when I was praying about this, I thought, well, you know, let's follow Jesus. He taught in the synagogues. What's my takeaway? Well, I could become a catechist in the parish.
I love that.
You know, I could certainly want to teach my children.
Yeah.
You know, and grandchildren and that kind of thing, who Jesus is and what's he, you know, what mm-hmm. he's done for us.
Yeah.
So teach. Number two, proclaim the good news of our Savior. I would say that we need to maybe take on an attitude of boldness mm-hmm. when an opportunity arises that we meet someone and we can share that good news.
Mm-hmm.
Or become a lector. Proclaim the good news from the pulpit, you know,
mm-hmm.
Be a lector and read the readings. And as far as emotional healing is concerned, well, he healed, and the list is spiritual, emotional, physical of all the people he healed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So emotional healing, we could be a friend to someone who's in need, mm-hmm. who needs a listening ear.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual healing, invite someone to Mass.
Yeah.
Or bring them to the to adoration.
Correct, yeah, bring them to adoration.
Or enlighten them about confession.
And be present to them. Just be present. Don't mm-hmm. try to solve anybody's problems. Just be present with love.
And then physical healing, I thought, well, I'm not a doctor, but I am capable of feeding the poor
mm-hmm.
or clothing the naked. The corporal works of mercy that we talk about, where we can take care of our the bodily needs of our friends that have less than we have.
Yeah.
So
that's great. And to your point, it's always orienting people towards that place of spiritual healing, you know, relational growth, most importantly, relationship with God. And I think it's really interesting how he jumps onto the scene, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he uses some pretty bold tactics. You talked about boldness to kind of point people in the right direction. You know, so he begins his ministry with this call to repentance, echoing John the Baptist's message, but deepens it with this announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so repentance is not really just merely sorrow for sin, but a transformation of mind and heart. That you know, Greek word metanoia,
mm-hmm.
right? Which meta meaning beyond or change, in a nous meaning mind or understanding. Together it signifies like a change in thinking. Right, so this is an interior makeover that he's talking about.
Yeah, he knows that John is arrested, and he continues to take that repent, but the kingdom is now at hand. It's
yeah.
not coming, it's now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So repent.
And I just close with this, as John Chrysostom said, St. John Chrysostom, repentance is the ship and fear is its helmsman, but love is the divine harbor. Repentance begins the journey, love brings us to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Kathy McCormick from St. Thomas Aquinas, blessing us with this wonderful gospel.
It's always great to be here. Thanks.
I'm Allison DeVol. Notre Dame head football coach Marcus Freeman saying, "Notre Dame, our mother," alongside his players after winning the Sugar Bowl on Thursday. In case you didn't know, he converted to Catholicism early September 2022 and then reinstated the pregame mass tradition for the team, committing to the Catholic traditions of Notre Dame.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And that is why they won.
Love it. In a remarkable act of faith, the Catholic Church in Hawaii has launched the Hawaii Apostleship of the Sea Ministry, aimed at bringing the Eucharist and sacraments to seafarers who are often cut off from church services for months or even years at a time.
Wow.
Many of these fishermen, primarily in the Philippines, Vietnam, and Indonesia, are Catholic workers who spend extended periods at sea with little to no access to religious services. The church has found a unique solution by sending a ship to the fishermen, making it possible for them to attend Mass and receive the sacraments while at sea. It's a beautiful reminder that sometimes the church must meet people where they are, even in the middle of the ocean.
Nice.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for More to Life.
But now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:33.
Chuck Purser, talking about another amazing saint. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chucky. We are lucky.
There's no luck. It's faith. It's hope.
Amen.
Amen. I was testing you and you
passed. We're blessed. Not lucky. We're blessed.
Amen. Amen. So who do we have today, Chuck?
So today we're going to talk about the Miracle Man from Montreal, talking about St. Andre Bessette, who celebrates an optional memorial on January 6th. He was a French-Canadian born Alfred Bessette in Quebec in the year 1845. He was orphaned by the time he was 12, and with very little formal education, he received in his heart a vocation and became a Holy Cross brother in the year 1870, and was ultimately assigned as the doorkeeper at Notre Dame College in Quebec, with a note that came with him from his pastor, who took him under his wing and said, "I am sending you a saint."
Wow.
You know, this would be prophetic.
You know, as the doorkeeper at Notre Dame College in Montreal, he embraced the role like with humility and said, "When I joined this community, the superior showed me the door and I remained there for 40 years.
Yeah, I love that.
Pretty clever, right?
Yeah, wow. That's a funny line. Well, we'll get into it, what all happened while he was doorkeeper, because many miracles happened along the way. And it just shows that, you know, being present can really lead to great things.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
The brothers themselves were a teaching order, and Andre at age 25 was still unable to read or write. And he also had stomach problems. And this was an issue he had for his entire life. You know, as mentioned, at the request of the Bishop of Montreal, he was given the position of doorkeeper at Notre Dame College, where he uttered that famous line. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. He prayed with those who he would meet at the door, and then through God and through the intercession of Saint Joseph, suddenly we started to see that he had these healing powers. Mm. And you know, of course, ever the humble man, he would laugh at that and say, "These are the works of Saint Joseph and God, not me." But of course, it was, you know, the prayers of the righteous availeth much, as
Amen.
We learn in James 5:16, right? So we start to see that. But again, it plays to his humility. And, you know, crowds begin to form and they started to ask Brother Andre for his personal prayers. Miracles continued to occur, and that's where he earned this nickname, the Miracle Man of Montreal. In 1904, he started building the St. Joseph Oratory in Montreal, and he did this with nickels and dimes he earned as a barber.
Wow.
He had a side hustle. He was cutting hair on the side.
Wow.
And he would just collect this money. He needed the $200 in order to claim that portion of the ground.
Yeah.
And it was completed. And then by the year 1955, it was built up to be a basilica.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to show you that from, you know, we save our nickels and dimes, and from little things, great things
can
blossom.
Yes.
And according to some estimates, over 10,000 people have been cured at this oratory. They come there to pray. Some estimates go as high as 125,000.
Wow.
So this is how he earns the nickname, the Miracle Man.
Now, this is in his lifetime or after these healings?
This would be long after his lifetime, about 110 years later or so. Yeah. But in time, the basilica was built up as more contributions came in. You know, as people were healed and believed in the power of this basilica, they would make donations and just build it up.
Mm.
And, you know, although he never became a priest, he would sit with people He would essentially commiserate with them. He would hear of their sufferings. Often they would confess their sins to him. Of course, as a he's not a priest because he couldn't absolve them, but he would help them with their examination of conscience. He would be a listening ear for them. You know, that would be his legacy as a pure, humble servant, the man who, again, started at the door and, and never left. And, you know, he died in Montreal in January of 1937. It's estimated that more than a million people attended his wake and funeral. Beatified in May of 1982, and that would have been, of course, by now Saint Pope John Paul II, was canonized in 2010 by Benedict XVI and becoming the Congregation of Holy Cross's first saint.
Wow. Well, he is the patron saint of those who are sick, marginalized, and need of healing. And I loved when you were talking about how he was there for people. He couldn't do, you know, confessions. He couldn't do absolution because he wasn't a priest, but he was there and he helped. He, you know, gave his ear to others and just listened. I mean, what a witness that is for all of us, right?
Yeah. And no stranger to suffering in his own right. Yes. He had the stomach issues throughout his life.
Yeah.
He certainly lived a life of humble means, you know.
Yeah. Very antithetical to the pop culture narrative. More money, more fame, more success.
Mm-hmm.
That is the measure of a successful life. And this person is showing, no, holiness is embracing what's in front of you, regardless if it's glamorous or not. Pursuing sainthood is not job dependent.
Correct.
It's above circumstance.
He lived up to his own quote when he said, "It is with the smallest brushes that the artist paints the most exquisitely beautiful pictures."
Oh, yeah. I love that. That reminds me so much of Saint Therese of Lisieux as well. You know, a little way.
Yep.
Little things that we can do. And this is a beautiful quote from him. "Put yourself in God's hands. He abandons no one." I mean, yes. How wonderful is that to hear?
Yep. We've always got to remember that.
If we give ourselves to God, he's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
It might not be easy, but he's got it under
control. Oh, even in our suffering, you know, we know that those who suffer have something to offer God.
Mm-hmm.
That's another paraphrasing his quote.
Yeah.
Because he knows that when they succeed in enduring their suffering, that in itself is a daily miracle.
Yes.
And he often told that to people because they would come to him expecting these large miracles. He would remind them that the small miracles that take place in our midst today are those who endure, those who, when encountering suffer, do not complain, but instead offer it up.
Well, and that makes sense with, you know, this quote of his, "The door to heaven is the heart of Jesus. The key to this door is prayer and love."
Yes.
So this guy's obviously showing up in his time of prayer, you know, definitely in a Eucharistic rhythm. And that's the secret, right? I mean, we think, oh, he must have been born with an extra webbed toe or something that gave him this superpower. I mean, it is showing up and spending time with Christ that creates that interior alchemy that manifests in our relationships with other people.
And helps us love others.
Exactly.
Above all.
Yeah. Yeah, once we get outside of ourselves and realize that we're here to serve others, as men like him did, you know, really all the saints we've talked about in recent days. Just a few days ago, we talked about Mother Seton. Same thing, you know, serving to the very end, giving her life for children, for the poor, for the marginalized. And here we have, you know, Saint Andre, who did just the same in a different way. You know, where we had Mother Seton, who founded the Catholic school system in our country.
Yeah.
Here we have a man who, as you said, Allison, is present and showed up.
And really, when we do serve others, you know, you serve a lot, Josh, right? You go to soup kitchens or places like that. What you get out of that is so much more than anything we put in.
Always. Always.
Yeah, I get a lot out. I mean, it really pleases my probation officer.
Well, we're grateful he's happy with you.
As long as they're happy, I'll keep showing up.
I love it.
The key to life is showing up.
Amen.
Right. I think Woody Allen said that. Half a life is showing up. We usually quote saints. Today we quote Woody Allen.
Okay.
And keep in mind, based on Andre Bessette, the key to the door of heaven is prayer and love.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What a great way to end it. St. Andre Bessette.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And sometimes Dave.
And Dave.
And Dave, our good old reliable buddy.
At 8:40 Monday morning, it is time for Monday Memes.
I can't wait to hear what you got for us.
I can't wait to hear.
Just silly memes. Some of them are silly. Some of them are thought-provoking. Some of them just whatever's out there. And the first one is directed for the ladies.
Okay. Now, ladies, if he asks you how your day is going every day, if he supplies you with all of your needs, if he wants God to be a central part of your relationship, if he prays for you when you walk away, he's not your man. He's a Chick-fil-A worker. Please stop holding up the line.
Oh, my gosh.
That's, you know what? I think when that couple gets married, instead of I do, they should just say my pleasure.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's a thought-provoking one. Think about this. It's crazy how social media has convinced us that 20 likes is not enough. Imagine if 20 people in real life told you a compliment, you'd be thrilled about it. Mm, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Amen. This one's thought-provoking. Time is the only currency you spend without ever knowing your balance.
Oh,
use
wow.
it wisely.
Wow.
That's a good one. I mean, and seriously, mm-hmm. I, on a regular basis, I'm telling people, time is flying. I feel like it just goes so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes and you never know.
Sometimes you see people that, you know, got a little bit of road wear on them, and I'm thinking, man, you might be an overdraft right now.
Exactly.
You need to live a little healthier, brother.
This one says, I saw a guy today at Starbucks. No iPhone, no tablet, no laptop. He just sat there drinking coffee like a crazy person.
I love it. I want to be crazy. I mean, really, because I've been in Starbucks lately and everybody is on their phones. Everybody's on their computers. And don't get me wrong. I do some work there, you know, but yeah, how nice would it be just to eat without a phone, right? At a restaurant or
do anything
without
just
a phone.
Do anything. Just sit there and do nothing.
Yes.
You know, as if you're in adoration.
Amen. No, I love that idea.
Yeah, there is something about just being present. I think Dave is instituting the Lenten flip phone challenge. Is that right?
Exactly. We've got to convert to flip phones for Lent.
Yes. I think that sounds perfect.
We'll get, or I guess you could get the data turned off on your phone.
Yeah,
that's even better.
Perfect.
Yeah.
When I have to fill out a form asking who to call in case of an emergency, I always write an ambulance because no one in my family is going to answer a call from an unknown number.
that's funny.
And this one, think about this. 90% of the things I worry about never happen. So apparently worrying works.
There you go. You would make a great priest, Dave. That would be the homily I want to hear.
But it's so true when you really think about it. I mean, how many times do you worry about something? And maybe you know, Josh, there are times where I do. I put all these thoughts in my head like something's going to happen, and it never happens. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've heard this quote. I like, I've experienced a lot of tragedy in my life, and some of it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this one I related to just because of my age, I think. Back in my day, we didn't have Uber. We just picked up people in need and gave them a ride.
Yes.
And I can remember a time in my life, you know, 40 some years ago, where I would pick up hitchhikers or I would hitchhike. And you don't think about doing that today.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just a different world we live in, I guess.
So this is the quest call to action. You need to pick up every hitchhiker on the way home. It's going to be like a carpool service, okay? You're going to...
Even if they're holding a chainsaw or an axe.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the morning quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160. The quest.
It's 8:47.
Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, as well as St. Joseph's in Washington, will be talking to us about the Jubilee of Hope. And you know what, Father? I've heard a lot of people talking about the Jubilee of Hope. Could you explain what is this?
Yeah, you know, it's a great thing. It's really a relevant time. You know, we have looked at all the studies and the suicide rates are through the roof, especially with our youth in this country, as well as I think a lot of people feel more hopeless maybe than they ever have, at least in recent memory. And there's so many things that can sap our hope. So this is very providential, as always the church is often providential in this regard. You know that the Holy Father last year called for a year of prayer to prepare for this Jubilee year. Some of you might know this or have heard this, but every 25 years, we have a calendar year which we call a Jubilee year, that is actually part of the liturgical year. But for us, it's specifically referring to the year 2025, and it's a tradition that is very old. It was started by Pope Boniface the VIII in 1300, and we have done this every 25 years since then. The exception would be there are special Jubilee years. So you might remember the last one was in 2016, where we celebrated a special Jubilee year with the focus of mercy. But 25 years ago, the focus was the incarnation. So, of course, Pope John Paul II was the Pope. This particular Jubilee has a specific starting point, and it started actually on Christmas Eve of this year. And it will go to the Epiphany on January 6th of 2026. So that's the principal theme. The Pope always gives the theme, Jubilee of Hope. And it's a little more specific than that, though. The focus is on pilgrimage of hope or pilgrims of hope. Speaking of the fact that as Catholics, as Christians, we are a pilgrim people. We're journeying towards a sacred place. And this is kind of what it means to be a pilgrim people. That's more than a place. I think it's really a person and a state, which is eternal life or the blessed life with God forever. And, you know, what's interesting, guys, is that this is grounded in Scripture, you mm-hmm. know, so you probably remember mm-hmm. in Scripture where this is. It's in the book of Leviticus, particularly verses 8 through 22 in the Old Testament. And it's really the 50th year in the Jewish calendar. So they'd have 7 years of seven, seven being the number of the covenant. And then after the 49th year, the 50th year was called to be a Jubilee year, where there was a focus on forgiveness of debts and things like reconciliation. This was something that the Jews were supposed to do. I don't know how often they were true to this, but they were supposed to be doing it, God's Jewish people in the Old Testament. So for us, the Pope has called us to focus on things like peace building and outreach and prayer, devotion and pilgrimage, reconciliation, restoration, forgiveness, and reestablishing a relationship with God and others. And the Pope Francis actually issued a papal bull or an edict, and the title of it was Hope Does Not Disappoint, to introduce that he was going to have this theme for the Jubilee year. And it always involves the opening of holy doors. So Christ being the door, you know, and then you think of the idea of Jesus being the gate that leads the sheep out to the pasture of abundant life in John 10, or he says, I stand at the door and knock, that anyone who opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him. And so you see that in the book of Revelation. These doors invokes a symbolism of union and communion with God through his son, body of his son, his church, which leads us to hope. So just to explain what happened, the holy door was opened on Christmas Eve, symbolically to speak to the beginning of the Jubilee year. And these doors are found at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and other major basilicas. The opening of the holy door symbolizes an extraordinary path towards salvation for Catholics during a Jubilee year. So we can walk through the door if we go over Rome and receive a plenary indulgence with the usual conditions. And there will be other holy doors that will be opened up at specific times. For example, I've already missed this second one as well. He opened a holy door in the Archbasilica of St. John Lateran on the 29th. And there's one opened at St. Mary Major Basilica, the Solemnity of the Mother of God. And for the Epiphany, the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. And these doors will be closed December 28th of 2025. And so you also have, in addition to that, he decreed that every Catholic cathedral around the world would offer Mass on December 29th, 2024, as the solemn opening of the Jubilee in local communities. And so Pope Francis has encouraged dioceses to organize pilgrimage to their cathedrals this occasion. So it should throughout the year. You see the opportunities there to, in a kind of physical, sacramental way, to renew our hope in God.
I mean, I think this is so great with the opening of these doors because, you know, we need to be reminded the deeper meaning, right? That Christ is this door to salvation. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
So the fact that the Pope is putting this gift of an indulgence to have this experience. And I think this can easily be misconstrued by someone who's not Catholic, maybe even someone who's Catholic. Oh, that's a work. It's like, no, it's a opportunity. I'm sure nobody who would go to the basilica would be like, well, that was a waste of time. You know, they'd walk out and be like, I'm a holier person because of this experience. Thank you for challenging me and giving me the, you know, the opportunity to come out here.
Yeah, no, I think, too, the cool thing about these doors is they're sealed from the inside.
Wow.
And then they're only opened up in these special Jubilee occasions. And they also have images in the door, these images from events in Scripture.
Really?
And so there's a way you can meditate on these ideas, these themes in Scripture, and really apply this to your life. So one of the things we're going to do at our church is we're not planning a pilgrimage to the cathedral, although that's possible. We haven't planned that. That would be, you know, a 2-hour trip, not the cathedral in Rome. That would be a little bit more than I think people could afford. But I'm sure there are people doing it in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. You could probably look into it.
There aren't like holy doors of the cathedral, though, right? You have to go to these, you know.
Well, you would just go through the door of the cathedral.
Oh, and that would be an indulgence?
Well, as far as the conditions on that, I have to look into that. There's a lot of details on this. Okay. If y'all want to recommend this to your listeners, the National Catholic Register has like a bunch of articles on this. So they can speak to the specifics. But we should also be able to reach out to someone at the Archdiocese and get more information on how we're participating in it. As I learned from the Archbishop how that'll work. You can look into it as well and instruct people. I think one of the practical ways, though, would be the pilgrimages are great, but maybe you obviously can't go to Rome. Maybe you can go to the cathedral. And certainly throughout the year, maybe focus on the theological virtue of hope. There's a book that we're going to use called Opening the Holy Door of Hope, and it's filled with hope-filled scripture reflections.
Nice.
And so you can get it on Amazon. It's by a lady named, a PhD doctor scholar named Joan Watson. And what it's got all the images in the Holy Door and scriptures, including that, and then a little study that's included. And so what we're going to do is like once a month or twice a month, we're going to meet after one of our masses and just very simply challenge people to pray through these, these scripture passages and reflect on hope. Because I think so often in scripture, there are so many places where people are without hope, sometimes even because something God has promised, it doesn't seem possible. And then he miraculously provides the fulfillment of that promise. You think of Abraham, you know, he kind of had hope against hope. He's like, how am I going to have a child? All of a sudden he has this child. Then he has to offer the child up in sacrifice. He's thinking, how could this be good? In both cases, God's goodness works through these difficulties and brings about, you know, not only restoration, renewal, but a greater hope for him. His hope becomes more God and not the circumstances of this life. So I think that's the challenge for us. At least at our parish, we're going to do that. But I think all pastors, priests that are in charge of ministries can incorporate a focus on hope this year.
Amen.
In their homilies and their teachings, and possibly get involved in some of these pilgrimages.
Another amazing reflection and challenge for us to step up our faith for this hope-filled season and year. Thank you again, Father White.
Thank you.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It's 8:57, and let me just correct myself and apologize. So I was giving the traffic and on autopilot, and I happened to say when the traffic was in Lithonia, I said Lithuania. My wonderful co-host pointed that out. So I, Quest, we're not international yet. We're not doing Lithuanian traffic reports, but maybe one day. That's when we've really made it.
I love it. And hello, having family, you know, my great parents are from Lithuania. It was like, oh, you just said Lithuania.
I wonder how many more slips I have in me. You know, I'm given the stall in Rome, Georgia, and I say Rome, Italy. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
We are human, but we're having a great time.
So we have some interesting stuff coming on tomorrow, Allison.
We sure do. So on our show tomorrow, Father Silway from All Saints and Dunwoody is going to be back with us, and he is going to be unpacking a another inspiring message for us. Father Scott Riley from St. Brennan's is going to be reflecting on tomorrow's gospel.
Great.
Chuck Persner is going to be talking about St. Raymond of Penyafort, another saint that I was not aware of. And then also Christopher Bell, parishioner at St. Brennan's and Navigator, State Communications Director with the Knights of Columbus, is going to be talking to us about building new membership.
It's going to be great. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a wonderful day.